Thursday, March 15th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, that is Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together and we talk sports every single weekday, and we try to do it with a dose of common sense. We try not to take ourselves too seriously. And we are very, very happy to have you with us today. Happy Thursday to you, and happy March Madness to you, because March Madness truly begins today. Yes, it is a wonderful time of the year as we are going to have upsets and buzzer beaters and just craziness taking place today, tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday. Oh, it's a good thing. It's a very, very good thing. You know, I hope that you are ready to settle in on the couch or at the wing place or wherever it is that you are going to be watching all of the fun. Now, you may have had to go to work today. And if you did, I feel your pain. I understand what you're going through. I, too, have had to work during March Madness. It's not a pleasant thing. You know these games are going on. You want to be watching them. You know there is excitement in the air. You can just feel it. But you can't be there. You can't watch it. Now, here's the thing. If you are at a desk with some computer access, let me give you just a few tips to get you through this time. Because if you have that computer access, you can try to keep an eye on the games, hopefully without your boss scolding you, right? Here are a few suggestions for you to get through this without, you know, having to go to a meeting and getting in trouble and having a stern talking to and all those things. A few things. First off, open a separate browser window and make it just a little bit smaller for the games to be on. Yes, you might not be able to see quite as clearly, but if it's a little bit smaller, you can always just click on those other tabs and it'll cover that one. Don't like try to open just one of your other tabs that you're working in and try to hide it, because you're just one missed click away from your boss seeing like Trae Young playing against Rhode Island, right? Oh, I clicked on the wrong one and now they can see the game going and now they know exactly what I'm up to. Don't get fired. That's the bottom line. You can't pay for drinks after these games if you get fired. So you got to go ahead and keep that job. Open a separate window, make it a little bit smaller. That way you can get to it quickly and easily when you need to. Here's your next step to watching March Madness at work today if you are stuck in the office. Find a few papers with like work-related stuff on them. You can't just have blank paper. No one's going to buy that. You got to have some work-related stuff there. Keep them near your keyboard. Like keep them right there next to your keyboard so that when your boss does come over by you and sees you staring intently at your screen as like number 16 Penn is staying closer to number 1 Kansas than maybe any of us thought, and you're looking aggravated or whatever, just stack those papers and act frustrated. Go ahead and look like you're looking for something. Like you're getting aggravated. And your boss might even stop by and say, hey, everything going okay? You seem stressed.
Well, I've got a lot to do.
See, something like that should keep them off of your trail and allow you to watch the games, because your boss may see, man, I don't know what's going on, but they're really, really like stressed today. They're really working hard today. It seems like they're really into everything today. Just going to kind of leave them alone. That's what you want. You want them to leave you alone. And then you can just settle in and watch all of the madness at work. Or you could just be like me, sit at home and watch it on your big screen TV. Either way. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, let us know how it is that you are avoiding work today while watching college basketball. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com or reach out to us over on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you have a suggestion. Maybe you have some feedback. Maybe you need some advice. You saw just now, we can hand out some advice. We would love to hear from you. Hey, we've got a lot to get to today. There are a couple of stories coming out that we want to cover. And then we are actually going to continue our conversation with longtime high school basketball coach Russ McKinstry. You know, we had Coach Mack on yesterday to talk about March Madness, to get his thoughts on the tournament. But we actually ended up talking a lot about the NFL, talked a little bit about some referees and what kind of decisions they make down the stretch. We never got to the actual tournament, Never fear. We are going to get to that today. Make sure that we get some tournament talk in with Coach Mack. Trust me, you will enjoy it. Few things that are coming out today. First off, the Arizona Cardinals have made a couple of moves that just go to show you why they can't have nice things.
Man, that's just mean.
First, we did hear on Tuesday that they would be signing quarterback Sam Bradford to a one-year deal. They are saying that one-year deal is going to be worth $20 million. $20 million? For what? Has anyone ever been paid more to do less than Sam Bradford? Because if they have, I don't know who they are. Here are some disturbing numbers for you to just think about. After this $20 million that Sam Bradford is going to receive, he will have earned $134 million in his NFL career. He has been in the league for 8 years. He has won 34 games. Let's see, 34 games. That's about 4 wins per season. For those of you who don't have a calculator with you. $20 million for 4 wins a season? And probably like, I don't know, a rascal or something for Bradford to ride around on for most of the season. Wait. The Cardinals weren't done yet. That wasn't it. Because in order to afford that brilliant move, they are also cutting safety Tyrann Mathieu to make room for Sam Bradford. Yes, Mathieu was cut just hours before. $5.75 million of his 2018 salary and $8 million of his 2019 salary were going to be guaranteed yesterday afternoon, the first day of the league year. Mathieu was also due a $5 million roster bonus on March 16th. That is how Arizona is doing business right now. Honestly, Larry Fitzgerald has to just be walking around going, I came back for this? Like, I was thinking about retiring, could have went and done some other things. Larry Fitzgerald's a smart guy. I could have went and gone into broadcasting or done some things. I came back to have a broken Sam Bradford throw me passes and get rid of one of our best defensive players? This is what I came back for? Man, Arizona, just get out of your own way. I know they needed a quarterback. I understand that. Wow, there is just an insane bloodlust for quarterbacks right now in the NFL. That is how thin the quarterback core is right now in the NFL. $20 million for Sam Bradford, who can barely walk down the street under his own power. They're giving him $20 million. Absolutely insane what's going on in Arizona. And it looks like the Cleveland Browns are going to go back to doing business the way they usually do, because it looks like the Browns are going to be signing former San Francisco 49ers running back Carlos Hyde to a 3-year deal worth $15 million. Oh, but also they say they're still probably going to draft Saquon Barkley. You know, right after I said Cleveland was starting to do some things that finally make some sense. Nope, can't do that. They're going to waste some money on a guy that can't block or catch in Carlos Hyde, but then still go draft Saquon Barkley. Why would you waste the money? You can find running backs. Why would you pay that much money for a guy that can't do but one third of the job that you need him to do? Well done, Browns. Wait, the news gets worse for Cleveland, because it looks like 33-year-old left tackle Joe Thomas is going to retire from the Browns after 11 standout seasons with Cleveland. I mean, Joe Thomas was the one positive, solid thing that has been going there. He apparently is even looking at this situation going, what are you guys doing? You went out and you made a couple good moves. You got Tyrod Taylor. It's not great, but it's better. Got a decent cornerback. Okay. You went and got a decent wide receiver. Okay, that's better, but it's the Browns. Cleveland has effectively broke Joe Thomas. Thank you, Cleveland. Doing well. Finally, it looks like 3 Baylor football players have been suspended from the team because of, yes, you guessed it, allegations of sexual assault involving football players. Bears coach Matt Rhule announced yesterday in a news conference that there are 4 student athletes who will not be participating in spring football practice. 3 of those are related to an ongoing sexual assault investigation The other is unrelated, not associated with any sexual violence. Whatever. Look, here at the Daily Dose, we try not to get all emotional. We try to apply some common sense to things. We don't want to like jump on a bandwagon that doesn't make any sense because we just got caught up in a headline and we look at it and we say, oh man, that's crazy. Let's just go out with an opinion. We try to stand back and kind of look at things and let's just kind of wait and see and then, you know, approach with some logic, right? Having said that, what is going on at Baylor? Why can't they stop raping people down there? Like, is that part of the Baylor off-season training program? Look, it happened under Art Briles. Now it's still happening under Matt Rhule. I hate to do this. I hate to jump to like this kind of conclusion, but we need to scrap the Baylor football program. Yes, I am asking that the Baylor football program be given the death penalty. No, not for financial impropriety. Not for like illegal payments or bags of money to recruits. Not for, I don't know, FBI wiretapped calls. Just for all of the raping. It needs to stop at Baylor. And apparently, they can't stop it themselves. It is up to the NCAA, apparently, just to give Baylor the death penalty. My goodness, get your players under control down there. I don't understand what goes on at Baylor. I really don't. It's painful. Okay. Coming back, we will continue our conversation with longtime high school basketball coach Russ McKinstry. In a single elimination tournament, which matchups are the toughest and which schemes are the most dangerous to try to prepare for? Also, which coaches does he like watching and what styles is he not that fond of? Can a 16 beat a 1 in this tournament? All of that when we get back. We now continue our conversation with Coach Russ McKinstry. Okay, let's get into this tournament a little bit because we've got a wide open March Madness bracket. I don't have any idea who's going to win this thing. You've coached in one and done tournament for years. Here in Colorado, we play it off. There's not like a loser's bracket and you go over. It's single elimination. And if you lose, you're gone. We know in these single elimination situations, it comes down to matchups though. It doesn't matter who you can beat. If you can beat everyone except that team in front of you, then you're going home. And if you don't match up particularly well with that team, you might be able to beat the other 63, but one team sending you home. Was there a certain style or was there a certain scheme that you didn't like preparing for more than others?
You know, it makes this time of year very interesting. And basketball is about matchups. That's why it's such a, I think, the greatest game in the world. It's about matchups, and you match great athletes against great athletes, and strength against strength, and weakness against weakness, and it just really is a very intriguing way to watch an athletic contest. I think basketball is at any level is predicated on who can get defensive stops. It's largely based on who has superior guard play, and then I think it's based on the squad that has the most aggressive nature, because it's the little things that win tournament games, loose balls, rebounds, ability to get back, transition defense. So I always look for a strong guard play. I look for teams that kind of get the attention, the detail that it takes to, you know, get defensive stops at critical times. And with that being said, I think when I look at this tournament field, I think there's 12 to 15 teams that fit that mode. But I also think all 12 or 15 teams that could win this tournament have a fatal flaw. So, you know, I'd hate to be putting lots of money on this tournament.
Right.
Because I think it's going to be wild and wacky and a lot of different things could possibly happen.
That's true, because you look at the big dogs, and I know that we're hearing now probably Villanova and Virginia are probably the biggest dogs out there. Hey, they both have some flaws with their game. And I like both of those squads, but they both do have some flaws with their game. When you go into a tournament, was there certain player types or were there certain offensive or defensive schemes that you looked at and said, oh, I hate preparing for this style. I hate preparing for this kind of scheme.
You know, and I tried to base my coaching philosophy on just what you're talking about. You know, I think anytime you have teams that can play fast and can keep up with any style of basketball, you have an advantage. So those that can get out and run, can penetrate, have quickness at the guard position, position where they can penetrate, put pressure on your interior defense. And then if they have a couple shooters that you can kick out to, in this day and age, I think penetration with driving kick potential is really important and very dangerous. You know, I think the use of the big man has changed dramatically. Teams that now have big, slow, you know, 7-footers, sometimes that's a disadvantage. Sometimes the way the game is played, you know, Arizona's a good example of that with their size. It's hard to play with a couple 7-footers in your lineup just because at the defensive end, teams are so good anymore at spreading you out and utilizing that ability to drive and penetrate and kick and create mismatches. And, you know, it used to be where you can put yourself in the zone, but now with the 3-point line where it is, as close as it is, you really can't do that because you're going to give up too many good looks from the 3-point line. So, again, I think the more versatile you are, the more balanced you are, the more adept you are at ball handling and passing and ball movement, I think those are the type of teams that I look for. I think that's, you know, right now I'd pick Villanova as my favorite to win it just because of their guard play and their balance and their ability to do what I'm just talking about. They can, if they need to, they can pressure you defensively. They can get out and run. But they also have the type of guards who are savvy enough that if you get them into a half-court game, they're still disciplined enough and skilled enough that they can handle that type of basketball game too.
Coach, I'm glad you brought up Villanova. I love watching Jay Wright's teams. I think they have an essence of toughness about them, not just skilled, which they obviously are, not just very, very talented. They have a toughness about them. Like, he looks like a GQ guy. His teams don't play like GQ guys. They play like tough guys that aren't afraid to get on the floor. You look at Jalen Brunson. Dude looks like he should be out like a rec center. He's like an old man. Like, he plays old, nasty, mean, but he is so skilled. I love watching Jay Wright's teams, not just this group, but I just like watching his teams. Is there a coach in this tournament? And I know you've got some friends coaching in this tournament. Is there a coach that you just like watching the way his teams play?
You know, I do. I love watching Tony Bennett of Virginia and how disciplined and how committed they are to. And you know me, I love teaching and coaching defense. So I love watching them. And I think it's going to be Villanova and Virginia for an all of the national championship game, the B versus the B. The thing that worries me about Virginia and Tony Bennett, I just don't think they have the offensive spurtability that it takes to win consistently 6 games in a row. So I'm a little bit worried about them, but I love watching them coach and the manner. Because of course, I've always been a Roy Williams guy, and I love, you know, how he gives his players the freedom and the confidence to go out and play an up-tempo, you know, freewheeling style of basketball that's fun to watch. And I know the kids love playing for him. You know, I'm very impressed with Matt Painter at Purdue. I know Matt, and I know how hard he works. And, you know, we actually had one of our former players, Matt Carroll, that played at Purdue when Matt Painter was an assistant at Purdue under Gene Cady. And so I follow them real closely. And I think they're really talented and really tough and hard-nosed. But, again, I think there are fatal flaws, maybe some consistent guard play and quickness in the 3-4 position. So, you know, there's a lot of schools out there that I enjoy watching play, and I love their coaches and what they do. I love Tom Izzo and just how hard-nosed he is and how he gets his players to just play, you know, such hard-nosed, you know, well-disciplined, executing style of basketball. I love watching his teams play, and I think they're going to go far. It's unfortunate that, you know, Kansas, Duke, and Michigan State all ended up in the same region.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how that happened, but, man, that's kind of sad that those three are going to be taking each other out. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it is. You know, Tony Bennett, you brought up Tony Bennett in Virginia, and watching them in the ACC tournament, there are two aspects to Virginia that I really like. And like you said, I do worry about that offense. I worry if they can just generate enough points. But I think he does two things that I don't think we see enough of these days. One, they do utilize the mid-range game that I think gets completely forgotten. How many times do you see a guy beat someone off the dribble, stop, hit the 8 or 10 foot jump shot, as opposed to just going to the rack? You see them utilize that a lot more. And also, I'm just watching them in the stretch, watching them in the last 5 minutes. they just don't make mistakes. They just don't make that crucial turnover, that dumb foul. You're just going, wow, they play error-free basketball.
Yeah, really well coached and disciplined. And you're right, that mid-range game is a lost art, but they bring that to the table as one of their strengths. And, you know, they to me seem like a team that's on a mission, going through the schedule they went through in the tournament the way they did. It wouldn't surprise me if they won at all, but again, they're gonna have to come into a game where defensively that, you know, they're probably on top of their game, but they're gonna run into a team that's shooting the ball really well, and can they generate the offensive, you know, points at critical times to get them over the hump. I sure hope so. I'd like to see them win. I think that'd be really cool. But we'll see what happens.
Now, I've got to ask you on the other side of this, just from a visual standpoint, are there schemes you don't like to watch? There are times that I'm watching John Calipari's team, and I'm not dogging Calipari. He's a phenomenal coach sometimes. But sometimes watching the dribble weave handoff, just hoping for ISO situations, just drives me. It's just not that pleasing to my eye to see three guys move, two guys watch, and they're just hoping to isolate. Is there a scheme out there that you look at and I just don't enjoy watching it that much?
You know, it's interesting because you're right. That dribble weave offense that a lot of teams are using right now, I really never was a believer in going, you know, east-west with the basketball unless you had quick reversal of the ball to get an opportunity for a good look on a quick swing. But a dribble weave is very slow, and I think it's easy to defend if you're well-coached. And you're right, Kentucky, I've never been a big Cal Park Kentucky guy. I know they get a lot of talent, but it's not, you know, if they're on TV, it's not a game that I circle that I've got to make sure that I see, because I want to, you know, watch and learn and see what they're doing and see what kind of schemes they're using. I think they just out talent people.
Right.
They just kind of bludgeon you, and you know, with their talent. You know, there's some teams like the, you know, I'm not a big fan of West Virginia. I'm not a big Huggins guy. You know, for some reason, they do some things that, you know, I know he's known for his defensive approach, but something about them, I'm not real excited about them. And another team might be Xavier, you know, who's had a really good year, but they don't seem to excite me very much when I watch them. So yeah, those are some of the teams that, you know, all in all, I love watching the hoops no matter who's playing, but sometimes you just have a few of those teams for whatever reason. It's probably just personal bias that you look at them and say, it's just not, you know, not my kind of basketball.
You know, it's funny that you brought up West Virginia and Bob Huggins, because they're known for their press stuff. They're known for just trapping all over, and we've heard press Virginia and that kind of thing. Their half-court defense isn't very good this year. Like, you'd think if you're that defensive team, we're pressuring, their half-court defense isn't so good. It's just kind of an odd situation that he's got going there right now. I don't know if it's players or what it is, but they can't play half-court defense.
No, you know, and that's what I mean. Everybody seems to have some fatal flaws this year where, you know, they just, you know, they have 90% of their game, and they're very good basketball teams, but that other 10% that they're missing seems to be like the likely, you know, reason that they're going to not make it all the way to the top and win it all. So, you know, maybe some of these teams that we think will come through, we'll figure out the last 10% of what they need to fix and get it fixed, and we'll see someone that really dominates and goes through this cleanly. But man, I expect lots of upsets. I really do.
Speaking of upsets, we all know a number 16 has never beaten a one seed in this tournament. With all of the parity that we're seeing, like, it's just a matter of time, isn't it? I know it sounds crazy, but it's hard to blow a team out, especially when you know that's the expectation. I feel like in the next, I don't know, 10, 12 years, we're going to see that happen, aren't we?
No doubt. We're getting closer to that every year. And, you know, what was interesting, I was looking at the NIT bracket, you know, the second tournament that's going on right now. The JV tournament, or whatever you want to call it. That's a pretty dang good tournament.
Yeah, it is.
You know, there's some teams, Oklahoma State, USC, Notre Dame, St. Mary's, you know, some of the Pac-12 schools that, holy cow, how they weren't put in the, you know, 64 bracket, 68 bracket by selection committees, almost a crime, you know, some of the schools didn't make it. So, so I think it's only a matter of time with the parity that's really evolved out of college basketball. And, you know, who knows with the NCAA and you know, all the controversy they're going through, what's going to be next, if the one and done is going to be done, and they're going to go to a new model where kids kind of like the baseball, you know, model where they're going to the minor league. And it truly does become more of a, you know, student academic athlete type environment instead of, you know, kids are coming into college for 6 months, 5 months and heading to the pros. You know, we might be seeing the end of that era here pretty soon if changes are made that probably should be made.
Yeah, and I think that that could be coming. I always kind of caution people when we look at that model. I don't know that kids are truly grasping how much they benefit from the college experience. And I'm not just talking about the coaching, but you, if you're talking about getting your name and you're getting your brand out there, hey, name a guy that plays in the G League right now. I have no idea, but I can name you 20 guys that play, you know, college basketball, and they do market these kids. We do see these kids playing college hoops. They don't do that overseas, and they don't do that in these minor league things. Be careful. I know that's where we're probably headed, but I'm telling you, some of these players, I think you're going to end up being disappointed.
No, yeah, and you make a good point. And really, even at the high school level, as you go into the collegiate level, you know, the high school athletic scene, you know, is evolving into that European model, you know, where we might eventually see the end of high school athletics played, you know, for your high school, and everything's played out at the club level. I mean, more and more coaches are coming into the high school scene who aren't educators. Money's very tight with the budgets. You know, you just see more and more signs of, hey, maybe our entire, you know, evolvement as an athletic country might be going just the way the Europeans went, you know. And I'm very concerned about that because I hate to see, like you, the end of college spirit and what you get out of playing for your school, and what a special time that is for, you know, everybody, including the players and the spectators and the communities. That'd really be sad to see that go away.
Coming back, we will continue our conversation with Coach Mack. Does he think that Oklahoma should have made it into this tournament? And how would he defend an explosive player like Trae Young? Hey, just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, you might want to just head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find all of the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. March's Loot Crate theme is called Playback, and it features items from Back to the Future, Sonic the Hedgehog, Dungeons and Dragons, and The Simpsons. The best part, of course, about ordering: when you place your order with Loot Crate, just type Daily Dose into the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order. Coach, you brought up how good the NIT is this year. There's some teams that were left out. There was some controversy with teams like Oklahoma getting in. Syracuse. I don't know if Syracuse deserved to get in. If you could pull two teams and replace Oklahoma and Syracuse, who would you have put in?
You know, I think the way Oklahoma State really got hosed.
Yeah.
I mean, that should almost be a criminal investigation.
Yeah, that was
that
bad.
Was extremely sad that they didn't get in. They deserve to get in with their resume and who they beat. And there's just no excuse for that. I don't know how the selection committee can look themselves in the mirror. You know, I would say USC out of the Pac-12, they were playing extremely well. Got to the Pac-12 title game. They were playing, you know, very good basketball. Plus, they're just so talented. They have some great talent on that team. I would say Notre Dame, St. Mary's would be the other two. Between those four, Oklahoma State, USC, Notre Dame, St. Mary's, I think all four of those deserve to play more than Oklahoma and Syracuse. In fact, I 100% believe that.
Yeah, I do too.
Any of those four would be better representatives than Syracuse and Oklahoma. And, you know, maybe Oklahoma and Syracuse will prove us wrong, but, you know, that's where I feel right now anyway.
Well, and it seems like every year we do have this situation where we look at a team, we say, I don't know if they belong in there, and then they get in, but all week, that's what they've heard. We don't belong there. They go out, they have a great week of preparation, and they go out and they get a win. It wouldn't surprise me a bit to see Oklahoma do that. Speaking of Oklahoma, hey, he led the country in both scoring and assists. What do you think of Trae Young?
Intriguing player. You know, I thought as the season wore on and coaches adjusted to his style of play and his strengths, you know, obviously his production fell off, and he had some really not, you know, suspect nights where, you know, he was very average at best. So, but, you know, you look at him through the entire season, what he's able to accomplish with the type of scrutiny that was eventually put on him from other coaches and other teams trying to stop him. You know, he definitely has some of that Steph Curry-type talent and offensive explosion to him. But we'll see. You know, we'll see. It's not where he's there. He's arrived.
No.
And I think that's what made Steph Curry so special and still makes Steph Curry so special. He practices and works like, you know, he's a JV kid at the high school trying to make the varsity. And, you know, he so desperately wants to be good. And I think if Trae Young has that, then he's going to have a very special future. But you never know, you know, what's in their heart and how much desire and passion they have for work. And if he does, then, yeah, I think he's going to be really fun and have a bright future.
Here's the more important question I want to ask you. Because of your background, because of the way you coached, and because of your reputation as a defensive coach, how would you play Trae Young?
You know, one thing that we always do with a score like that is, you know, we just call it zero defense, meaning that we would put our best defender on you as an offensive player if you were that good, and we would just do our best to make sure you either one didn't receive the ball, or if we could ever force you to give up the ball, our objective was to make sure you never touched the ball again in that possession, you know. And anytime you had a penetration angle, we would always make sure that we had a spy, kind of like you do as a middle linebacker in football, where a spy was assigned to help off of his player to make sure that we double teamed any type of penetration by someone who has that kind of talent. So, you know, it doesn't worry me so much about the perimeter game. I think as a coach, you can kind of dictate some of those perimeter touches. And, you know, if you really concentrate and you teach your kids how to defend screen action, you can stop that. It's the kids are really good off the bounce and can just, they're so explosive and quick that you can't find one guy to stay in front of them. Those are the type of players that I think can give you really, you know, extreme stress and heartburn because you just can't find anybody to stay between them and the basket. And I don't know if he's quite that good, but, you know, he's close.
Yeah. Yeah, he's explosive. His ability to handle the ball might impress me more than his shooting ability. Because that ability to right. handle the ball, like you talk about it, that's where he can break down defenses. His shooting,
yep.
We'll see if he can keep that up, especially going to the next level and backing him up a few feet. But his ability to handle the ball is what at least makes me think he might have a chance. We'll see how he develops. Hey, tomorrow is Friday, and of course, we will be looking at the latest sports news and stories, but we need to finish up this conversation with Coach McKinstry. Break down a few different teams to watch as March Madness gets rolling. Which teams could surprise us? Which top teams are the most vulnerable, and which lower seeds are the most dangerous? Plus, we will still have our weekly Daily Dose Top 5. You never want to miss that. I have to say thank you so much for listening to the Daily Dose every single day. Thank you for the feedback. Thank you for the questions and the suggestions. I have to say thank you to Russ McKinstry for stopping by and spending some time with us. We look forward to finishing off our interview tomorrow. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. Have a great Thursday and enjoy the games today.